today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
Holiness means set apart. And not just set apart, but set apart for a purpose, set apart for a reason. Distinct is a good word, a good term for that. Before he made the world, he loved you and chose you to be holy. He specifically selected you to be different, to be distinct, to be holy.
Before time began, God knew you. He knew how many hairs would be on your head today and how many fell off yesterday. He knows when you'll get that next promotion and when you'll have to dig into that emergency fund. In today's message, Pastor James teaches that God knows your heart and mind and has designed it to be set apart for Him, to be holy in an unholy world. See, you have the opportunity to be light in the darkness, pointing others to Jesus by how you live your life in holiness. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
Paul's heart, if you can visualize this, you can put yourself there in that jail cell, so to speak, with him. His heart is erupting with praise. Simply as obviously he's being moved by the Holy Spirit, that this is God breathed. But Paul can't even contain, he can't even contain what's happening inside of his heart because he's so moved by how good and how amazing God is. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. You could chew on that for a while. What does that mean? I don't know exactly, but the word does give us some insights into that. And that's where, as we walk through the book of Ephesians, we'll see this, and more specifically through verses 3 through 14. But so that you know, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if he is your Lord Jesus Christ, right? Christ is Messiah, Jesus was his name, Lord is his title. If he is your Lord, then this applies directly to you. You're like, I don't feel like it does. It doesn't matter what your feelings are. I'm not worthy of it. Of course you're not worthy of it. None of us are. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. So a few things I want you to note. I want you to note the past tense as in the fact that it has been done. It's not who will bless us with every spiritual blessing or who might bless us with every spiritual blessing as long as you're good. Or no, it doesn't say any of that. It says who has blessed us. Now, are you functioning within your Christianity, within your walk and your relationship with Jesus based off of that? With the realization that, no, he already has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. It's past tense. It's done. You said yes to Jesus, and God opened up his bank account, so to speak. He gave you his debit card, so to speak, concerning the heavenly blessings and said, here you go, kid. It's all available to you. It's all available to you. There's a part of me that would like this to mean material blessings, right? I mean, if we're honest, it's like, yeah, that'd be nice, you know, some bills to be paid and that to be paid off or whatever. The Lord knows how to take care of his people. But if you guys remember some of the stories in the Gospels, like let's say, for instance, early on in the Gospel of Mark, there was a man who was paralyzed. He was sick. He had to lay on this bed all day. And Jesus was teaching in a house. And so Jesus is teaching in this house. And this man, he had four friends who were bound and determined to get their friend to Jesus. Whatever it took, they were going to get their sick friend to this guy because he is healing people. And so what do? They climbed up on the roof. It's flat roofs over there in Israel, right? And so you can kind of hang out on the roof if you want, if the weather's nice. And they begin to peel away the tiles, enough to where they could lower their friend down right directly in front of Jesus as he's teaching, because they're going to get their friend to Jesus. They got to get their friend to Jesus. And as Jesus is teaching, here comes, and we've talked about this before, I don't think there's any kids above this area, but if they did, you know, we don't want that. We don't want them coming through the roof, but it'd make for a great illustration, right? Maybe it was one of my kids, not one of your kids, it's fine. But this guy gets lowered down, and there's no room in the house. They can't get in through the front door. This is the only way. And they were going to get their friend him, and he gets lowered down, and there's this man, and then there's Jesus, and then there's the religious people watching. What's he going to do? And Jesus says, first, your sins have been forgiven to a guy who can't get up. And he's thinking, probably, that's not my greatest need. His friends are thinking, we didn't get him, we didn't go through all that work for you to forgive his sins. We went through all that work so that you would heal him. And Jesus could say, I did heal him. I solved the biggest issue in his life, and that was his sin. And then, of course, the religious leaders were like, you can't say that because only God can forgive sins. And they were thinking this, right? And Jesus can read their minds. He's like, okay, you don't think that I can say that, that I don't have the right to proclaim that? Well, I'm the Son of God. And so Jesus technically is God. And so he says, all right, rise up, roll up your bed, and walk. And that's exactly what he did. So Jesus was aware of the physical need. He addressed the physical need. But priority in the kingdom of God is your spiritual needs. Don't get that twisted. Especially in our day and age, we want the material. And I get it. We want the material issues solved. You serve a good shepherd. John chapter 10, he is the good shepherd. If you're one of his sheep, he knows how to take care of you at the right time, at the right moment, to give you what you need, what you need. But my greatest need is not the material. My greatest need is spiritual. And in Christ, this is, and you can note that. I mean, you go back through this and you can underline and highlight every part where it says in Christ Jesus. Even just every time Jesus' name is referenced, whether it's the pronoun of he, and that's indicating Jesus, you can write, and it's all through this book, because this book is about Jesus. And what Paul is communicating to this church 2,000 years ago, and then to us in 2021 in April, is that if you belong to Jesus, you are so well off, spiritually speaking. You're so rich. And yet here I am, 20 years of walking with Jesus, living like I'm a homeless kid. Living like I'm a homeless kid. Because I have no clue. I have no clue of how rich my dad is. Because I have no clue. And I'm trying to do it all on my own. I'm hustling on my own. I'm scrapping on my own, just trying to make it through a day, trying to be good enough spiritually, trying to make sure I check off all my boxes and all that good stuff. And frustrated and tired, exhausted, burnt out. And the whole time, Jesus is like, dude, you have my debit card. You're my kid. You have what you need. You just need to get in touch with me. And this is the key to this whole passage. It's positionally, where do you find yourself today? Now, if you're saved, yes, technically you're in Christ. But what I'm talking about is, do you sit at his feet? Do you ever hang out with Jesus? Because if you don't, then you're living like a homeless person within the kingdom of God. You're missing out on the blessings. Sit at his feet. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with the one who wants nothing more than to spend time with you. Let me communicate it that way, to take all the legalism out of it, to take all the religious stuff out of it. Spend time with the one who wants nothing more than to spend time with you. It's not duty, it's delight. Just sit at his feet. We will understand this, every spiritual blessing, obviously, totally better, once you're in heaven, obviously, right? But I believe you can start understanding and comprehending some of this stuff here on this earth, and we'll try to get into some of this. But I want you to know, first and foremost, that in Christ Jesus, you've been given every, and the word means every. Technically, in all senses of the word, it means every single spiritual blessing, everything that you could possibly need in this life to make it, it's been granted to you. It's been granted to you freely. You're pretty rich. You're pretty rich. In Christ Jesus, you are rich. Now, don't let that go to your head. Right? Because that's sometimes what happens. You know, we want to, you know, stick out our chest a little bit more. Like, you know, no, if anything, this should just cause you to fall on your face before him, just like Paul, and say, all praise be to God. Praise Jesus. Because I don't even know, understand what all this means for me. But I know it's more than my heart and my brain can take. But every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms has been given to you. He has blessed us with those things. But here's the interesting little part of that little verse there, verse 3. Because, this is like this connector, you have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because. So before you get ahead of yourself thinking like, well, I know because I've gone to Sunday school my whole life and all that stuff. Oh, that's cool. That's good, I guess. Only to the extent of if you actually applied it. Because if it just went for attendance sake, then it's not that impressive. What's impressive is the ones who do it and then they actually apply it to their lives, okay? But this, because we are united with Christ. That's that in Christ. Your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. Positionally, that's where you are. That's where you are. Some of these spiritual blessings could be that new heart that Jesus gives you. That old one is gone, gives you a new one, turns you into a new creation in Christ Jesus. That could be one of these spiritual blessings for sure. The list could go on and on and on. But never miss the fact that whatever spiritual blessings you have is simply because of where you are at, and that's in Christ Jesus. It wasn't based on anything that we could have ever done. It was solely based on what he did for us. That's it. That's it. It's so simple and so beautiful. Why do we miss it so often? Why do we complicate it so much? I really believe that it comes down to just the simplicity of mark out a portion of your day, whether it's in the morning or in the evening, or maybe it's both morning and evening, kind of like a Charles Spurgeon deal, right? Morning and evening, you carve out some time within the day, and this time is non-negotiable. This time is me and Jesus time. And I'm going to sit at his feet. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to open up his word. And I'm going to hear what he has already said to me. And I'm just going to sit. And I'm just going to sit in silence if I need to, just so I can hear from him. But I whether he speaks to me or not, does not matter. I'm going to sit at his feet because this time is precious for me. Because I'm in Christ. And any spiritual blessing that I have is simply because of who he is and the fact that I surrendered my life to him. So positionally, it's about you being in Christ Jesus. All these spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ, are in Christ. Look at this verse 4. This is here's a little preview into some of these blessings. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us, what? In Christ. To be holy and without fault or blameless in his eyes. So here's one of these spiritual blessings. God chose you. God chose you. He picked you. He picked you before you were even born, before the world was made, before this beautiful earth that we get to live on, and not even just this earth, but the whole solar system and all that good stuff and the amazing things that he's created. And I believe he spoke these things into existence. No doubt about it. It doesn't take a long time when he's God Almighty and he can just speak things into existence, right? Before he made all this awesome, cool, beautiful stuff, you were on his mind. You were on his heart. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. Before he didn't need a blueprint for the earth. But this tells us, here's the Apostle Paul in prison, and he's like, man, before anything ever was, he had a plan, but he also had you on his heart. You didn't even have time to give him a reason not to love you. You didn't even have time to expose the fact that, yeah, we're born sinners. That's the reality. That's who we are. You didn't even have time to be good enough. You didn't exist. But before he made it all, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. But not just like, I'm going to choose you guys and then that's it. And you can kind of run off and do your own thing. No, he chose you for a reason. Holiness is a part of that reason. Let's define what this means, because this is one of those churchy words, right? And we're like, when we think of holiness, I don't know why, but sometimes our minds go towards like the Pope, right? And we think like, well, no, that's holy. Not technically, okay? Holiness means set apart. And not just set apart, but set apart for a purpose, set apart for a reason. Distinct is a good word, a good term for that. Before he made the world, he loved you and chose you to be holy. He specifically selected you to be different, to be distinct, to be holy. He knows what he got when he got you, right? He's not surprised, right? And he's like, no, listen, this gospel is a free gift for anybody and all, whoever wants to receive it. Now, there's an element there, free choice and all that good stuff. Yeah, the gift is free, but you got to say yes. You have to say yes. And then when you say yes to Jesus, you need to realize he picked you from the very beginning so that you would live differently. So that you would live differently. You would speak differently. You would act differently. And when I say differently, I mean that you would represent him. You would look like him. Distinct from the world. The world's got its own manners and customs and way of speaking and all that stuff. If you're a believer in Christ, you should live differently. You just should. And this is not a crazy thing. This seems like it's turned into some taboo kind of a thing. Like, what do you want us to, like, live in a monastery? Like, go live off on our own? No, be normal. My goodness, Christians, be normal people, right? The world doesn't need weird people, okay? Be who you are, but be different. Wear what you want to wear, kinda. I mean, keep it appropriate, please. But it's not like, we don't always have to go around, you know, sporting this or that or whatever. Look, just, he's made you. He created you to be holy, to be distinct. And it's not about the dress. It's about how you treat other people. Love God, love others. It's pretty simple. This is not complicated. Love God and love other people. It's pretty easy, right? So we think. But sometimes those two things, that's the distinction. That's the difference. That's the difference. There's not a lot of love in this world. There's not. I don't care what you say. I don't care what commercials you create and all the stuff. There is not a whole lot of love in this world. There's just not. And the world's looking for all sorts of solutions. Well, if we do this, we can all come together. If we do this, then we can all come together. All their plans are in vain, because without Jesus, it's just not happening. But yet, here's the church of Jesus Christ. We should be loving. Loving. And that word in and of itself, and how to do that appropriately is can look like different things. Love in truth. The world needs to hear truth. We live in a world where it's like, I don't even know what truth is anymore. The world's done a really good job of that in the past 10 years to muddy those waters. And if you don't think that there hasn't been like some sort of agenda behind that, you're sadly mistaken. It's not like we just woke up today and it's like, well, I don't know what's true anymore. No, this has been a work. Why? Because if we can cloud up what is true and what is not true, we keep people in a state of confusion. And confusion leads to hostility and just out, you know, just snapping and all that good stuff. Christians should live their lives loving other people, speaking truth in love, hopefully, and representing the fact that, man, God loved me before the foundation of the world. And that's true of other people. So we ought to be sharing that with other people. Because there's a lot of people walking around in this world and they're just hopeless because they feel like, I'm not worthy of love. And if there is a God, why would he want me? And then you could come alongside him and say, no, look, before he even made everything, he wanted you. He wanted you. And he's presenting this free gift of salvation to him. All it takes is saying yes to Jesus. I'm a sinner. I need you to be my savior. That's it, man. That's it. We carry around this. We have the solution to the world's biggest problem, just like Jesus had for that man that was lowered down from the roof in front of him. We carry around the solution for the world's biggest problem. We have the gospel message, the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. We have that. We have that. Part of being holy is not being isolated, but living on a mission for God, sharing this remedy with the people who are lost and who are dying. That's it. That's what holy people do. Holy people don't hide out. Holy people don't hide out. They don't run away from the world. They run into the world. They don't run away from the battles. They run into the battles because they know people are dying. People are dying and people die and go to hell. That should never be okay with us. What also shouldn't be okay with us is there are people who are suffering within this world that should never be okay with us. We run into the battles. We run into the fights. We don't run away from the fights. Holy people should be bold and brave people. You don't believe me? Read your Bible. Good place to start. Joshua chapter 1. Be brave. Be courageous. God told that to Joshua multiple times. Why? Because Joshua was probably afraid, like you and I. Be bold. Be courageous. Don't let this word depart from your lips. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Stay in the word. Be bold. Be courageous. Be bold. Be courageous.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of Bread for the Broken, a ministry of Calvary Galveston based out of Galveston, Texas. Today, Pastor James is teaching on the book of Job, where we see that Job cried out, challenged, and even accused the Lord, desperate to understand why he was suffering. And when God finally responded, he didn't offer explanations or defend himself. Instead, he thundered from the whirlwind, revealing his unmatched majesty, wisdom, and sovereignty. God didn't answer Job's question, but he gave Job something greater, a glimpse of who he truly is. In the end, Job's complaints were silenced, not by answers, but by awe. And from that awe came a deeper trust. Job walked away with a fuller understanding of God's power and splendor. We hope that you were challenged by today's message. If you're ever in the Galveston, Texas area, we would love for you to come visit Calvary Galveston in person. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. in a laid-back, simple, and uncomplicated setting that's all about magnifying Jesus at every age and stage of life. And if you can't be with us locally, you can still worship with us each week through our Facebook live stream. Just visit breadforthebroken.com for the link and for more details. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to help others find the same hope, consider supporting us with a donation. Just head on over to breadforthebroken.com to give. Once again, we're so grateful that you joined us today to be inspired by God's Word. Please tune in again next time for Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you, man, who I love.